In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. During this joyful season, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every day, the Church leads us to enjoy the joy of the resurrection of the Lord through the hymns and also through the readings. And therefore, there is a special arrangement for the reading during the Holy 50. As we had a special arrangement for reading for the Great Lent, the same also for the Holy 50. And as in the reading for the Great Lent, the reading are centered for every week, are centered of the reading of the Sunday, so there are specific themes for every Sunday during the Great Lent, the same also in during the Holy 50. So today is the third Sunday of the Holy 50. The first one was Thomas Sunday, which is the confirmation, satisfaction about the resurrection of the Lord and the appearance of the Lord to the disciple. And as it is mentioned, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The second Sunday, which was the last Sunday, or previous Sunday, was about the Lord for us is the bread of life. Today is the third Sunday and the story of Samaritan woman, which it was the fourth Sunday during the Great Lent. And we had this story, the same story as the story of repentance and the change. And we look to the story in different perspectives as the joy of the Samaritan woman and the Samaritans when they met the Lord, the giver of the living water. And next Sunday about the Lord is the light of the world, and then the fifth Sunday, I am the way and then the life and the resurrection and the truth, the way and life and the truth. And then we have the Feast of the Ascension and the last Sunday, which is the sixth Sunday of the Holy 50, to give us peace. And the Lord said, in the world you have tribulation, but go, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So let us reflect on the joy of the Samaritans. But firstly, who are the Samaritans? The Samaritans are people who live in an area called Samaria, which that's why called Samaritans, and it's between the Galilee, the north, and Judea, the south. So because the Lord used to go from the Galilee to Judea and back, so have to go through the area of Samaria, the Samaria. They are originally a Jewish people, but they are mixed with the Gentiles. So the Jews did not consider them as a pure Jews because they are mixed with the Gentile after the captivity. And they also have a different belief. They only accept from the Old Testament the only five books of Moses. And they don't accept any prophet after Moses. So all the prophets who came after Moses were not considered for them as a prophets. And they are waiting for the Messiah, which Moses said that is God will give you a prophet like me. So they're waiting about what Moses mentioned about the coming of the Messiah. Not only that, but also they built their own temple on the mountain of Gerizim. And that's why there was a dispute between them and the Jews. Where is the place to worship? Of course, the temple was built on Zion mountain, and the Lord ordered only one temple to be. There are many synagogues, but only one temple. But they built their own temple, which was destroyed before the coming of Christ in the year 128 before Christ. And therefore was a kind of enmity and no dealing between the Samaritan and the Jews. Both of them, and among the Jewish people, they consider to insult a person to call him a Samaritan. That's the way which they insulted the Lord by saying, we said that you are a Samaritan and a demon possessed. And that's why when the Lord came and waited at the well, and the woman came, it was in the desert place, and he asked her to give him to drink water. But she was, and he accepted even just to asking for that. She told him, how is that you being a Jew and ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For a Jew has no dealings with the Samaritan. So even to this extent. The meeting was not easy meeting, physical meetings. And of course you heard about the details and how this woman did not even accepted to give him a drink when he spoke about the living water. She mocked what he said, saying that's how you can get water while you have nothing to do with, and that the well is deep. She could not understand what he meant, but the living water. She asked, of course, about where to worship, and the Lord answered her. And when she asked to asked him to give her from this water, then he asked her to go and call her husband. And this was a turning point in the discussion. But this woman, at the end, it was a difficult meeting at the end. It was not a joyful meeting at the end, but it ended in a very joyful way. The question is why? For three things. Number one, she confessed her sinful life, saying, I have no husband. Even she did not mean by it to tell the full truth, but at least what she said was true. And the Lord encouraged her by saying, you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. And this was a turning point in the discussion. Secondly, she asked about the place of worship, and the Lord revealed to her where to worship, not only where to worship, but what is the real meaning of the worship. And he told her, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Which in other words, now it is our coming, where the real worship not to be related to a certain place. And Judaism, it related to the mountain of Zion, and every Jew have to go there to offer the sacrifices. And no one is allowed to offer a sacrifice outside of the temple. They can read the Old Testament, they can pray in the synagogues, which existing in every place where a Jewish people were there. But only one place to offer the sacrifices is the temple. But with the coming of Christ, now Christianity is not attached to a certain land. We don't have holy land in the meaning of existing in Judaism or in the Old Testament about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the heart of every one of us when the Lord come and dwell. Any place we can worship God, we offer the sacrifice, the Eucharist, in any place, in any country, in any place. And thirdly, the Lord revealed himself to her when she asked about the Messiah. He said, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he. So I am the Christ. And this is remind us with the question which Moses asked the Lord about his name. And the Lord said, I am who I am. I am who I am. Ego. him. So I am has sent me to you. So he told Moses, when the people ask about his name, I am the being. And Jesus Christ is the incarnate Logos, God who came in the flesh to save us. So the woman left her water pot and converted, not just to believe in Christ, but also to be a preacher, to go and tell the people of her village or her city, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be Christ? I just want to remind you, in different occasion when the Lord was crossing the Samaria, and he wanted just to cross through a village of Samaritan, they refused to allow him just to cross the village. And two of his disciples asked him to revenge by asking to bring fire from heaven to destroy these people, but he refused. And this woman, which had a bad reputation, not accepted even by her village, and that's why she came to draw water in the middle of the day. Usually the woman to come to the well to draw water early in the morning. And she to avoid the other woman, and she came alone in the middle of the day of the 6th hour, which is the well of the noontime, to draw water. But this woman changed her meeting with the Lord. It changed her, and believing in him as a Messiah, went to tell the people. So that's why the gospel is the good news. When you have a good news, you want to share it with the other. And she went, she told the Samaritan, the people in her village, and they came. And they, number one, they accepted to host the Lord. Yeah, this is a big change to accept him to stay. And the Lord accepted their invitation, and he stayed with them 2 days. And the outcome of these 2 days, that is, the people believed in him. And they believed on him based on their experience. So that we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves had heard him and know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So again, for the Samaritan, there is a change in their life. They believed in Christ, and their belief based on their personal experience. This is important things. It's different between you know God and you know about God. You know God, that is, there is a personal relationship. So our faith is a personal faith. Our relationship with God is a personal relationship. Yes, it is within the church, but also it is a personal relationship between you and between God. And the strong faith is the faith which is based on this experience. And it is very clear about what happened for the Samaritan woman and the Samaritans, and how they believed, and this became a source of joy. So the real joy is when there is a change. The real joy when we know Christ personally. When we can say with St. Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the question for every one of us today, whether we know Christ personally, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Is he the source of joy for life? And we will take communion and we will receive Christ inside us, to abide in us and he to be in us. What kind of a change? The meeting with the Lord, it changes the life of the woman. But is our meeting with the Lord to lead to change in our life? or we enter the church and live as we are, hopefully to be a source of a change. The second, we spoke about the joy of this meeting, and I want to just briefly speak about the joy of reconciliation, because in this meeting it started by enmity, hatred between the Samaritan and the Lord as a Jew, but it ended by reconciliation. They accepted the Lord, they believed in him, they rejoiced. The same also happened. There was enmity between us and God because of the fall. But as St. Paul said, God reconciled us to him in Christ. So in Christ we be reconciled with God, to be a reconciliation. But the true reconciliation, because not every reconciliation is true one. There are false reconciliation. The true one should be based on truth. Sometimes you have people who are fighting and you want to bring peace. And you can achieve peace, but a false peace, because it's not based on truth. The truth means to address the reason of enmity. The Lord addressed this. This woman was not in reconciliation with Christ because of her sinful life. And we are not in reconciliation with God if we live in a sinful life. She was not in reconciliation with Christ because they have a wrong belief. The Samaritans, they what they believed in was wrong regarding work to worship, regarding the prophets, and it was a wrong belief. And the Lord told him, you were wrong. Salvation is from the Jew. What you were doing was wrong. To worship in Gerizim mountain was wrong. To only accept the 5 books of Moses was wrong. So he did not accept her as she was. He accepted her when she changed. She changed her regarding her life, and she changed while she lived. He helped her, but she changed in her life. The same also for the Samaritans. They accepted him, and they're willing to listen to him. Definitely during these 2 days, when the Lord stayed with them, he corrected their belief, he corrected their life. And the same also when we reconciled with God. He reconciled us by coming, taking our human nature and dying on the cross. He defeated the devil who defeated us. And he granted us his victory, which he achieved over the devil. And be accepted when be washed. We will not be accepted while you are sinners, but when we be washed through the baptism. And then after that by the repentance, continuous repentance. So the true reconciliation should be based on truth. So if you want to bring peace among two people, don't just focus, just kiss the heads of each other, exchange a kiss of peace, without addressing the cause of this enmity, a cause of this dispute or those of this fight between these two persons. If you don't deal with this, then it is a false reconciliation. And the reconciliation needs efforts. It will not come easy. So the Lord, to achieve reconciliation with the Samaritan, he took initiative. Usually when two people are fighting with each other, everyone who takes the first step? Nobody wants to take the first step. So the Lord, he took the first step. He started talking with this woman. And he was very patient with her. The response was not good. And sometimes you go and want to reconcile with someone and he rejects you. And this is what happened with this woman. But he didn't give up. He continued. And he was very patient and also encouraging. When she said something good, he appreciated that. So, because when you have people who are in fight, not everything is negative. Sometimes we find something positive. When we have family problems and they are coming, the two husband and wife coming fighting against each other, everyone complains about the others. And sometimes we say, so wait. Can you remember anything good about the other? You start to think. Okay, so help them. Why you married him? What do you find good in her to marry him? At least you find something good. So why don't you remember these days when you decided to marry, or you accepted to marry him? So it changed the atmosphere of the fight. When you start to think of something good about the person you are fighting against, it may help you. Yes, there are something wrong. Otherwise, why there is the fight? But when we focus on the wrong things, then we never take a step forward. So the Lord, when asked this woman to go and call her husband, she said, I have no husband. He may ask, oh, are you lying? Are you claiming you are a virgin so that you have no husband? No, he said, this is good. This is right. Even the other side is very bad. Yeah, and you don't have a husband because you live with one who is not your husband. And because you have previous five husbands. So the other side is very bad. But he focused on something which is good. He said, what you say was true. He didn't say to her, you are truthful woman or faithful woman, because she did it, she was not. And when you say half of the truth, this is not, you are not faithful. But he said, what you said is true, but there is other side. And then so the way of encouragement and look to something positive can help to achieve reconciliation. And so this woman became a messenger of peace. And she wanted to tell the Samaritan, come and see man. So sometimes we need someone as a mediator. Like the Lord Jesus Christ came as a mediator between us and God to achieve this reconciliation. But again, reconciliation is great, but always come with a cost. The Lord spent all this time, and his time was very precious, to spend all this time with one woman, to stay 2 days with this Samaritan, but it ended by. So don't regret the efforts which you do for reconciliation. Even if not successful at the beginning, but you have to be patient. God to reconcile us to himself, he sacrificed his only begotten son to come to die for all of us. So reconciliation always comes with sacrifice. And if you feel the importance of peace, then you are willing to sacrifice to achieve peace. No one is happy when there is a conflict, even if to pretend the opposite. But always peace brings comfort, brings joy. And it works to try. And it works to sacrifice for it. So if you are not in peace with anyone, think of of anyone you are not at peace with, and think of the change, things that changed and now you are at peace. How joyful to be when you be in peace, like the joy which the Samaritan achieved. What they benefit from enmity? They benefited nothing. They will miss the Lord. They miss such kind of meeting. If they insisted on their enmity and refusing to deal with him because of this history between them and the Jewish people. But they were wise. They accepted to change, and they accepted to pay and sacrifice. And of course, what they gained is much, much more than what we sacrifice. May our Lord Jesus Christ to help us to always to be in reconciliation with him. And we have to be in always in repentance, even if we lose things. If we lose things in the world, like St. Paul, when he lost many things, but he failed, what he lost is nothing in comparison to what he gained. May our Lord Jesus Christ also to help us to be always in peace with one another, to whom is glory now and forever. Amen.